This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Veterans Administration, nothing more fundamental to the contract between the American people and the American government than the veterans who have served in the 20th and 21st century, combat, non-combat, the roles and the guarantee of health care, adequate health services for the balance of their lives. I welcome Francis Rose. He is the host of the Daily Scoop podcast at FedScoop. The website is available for everyone to listen to the length of these conversations. I'm keen on Francis's conversation with Kurt DelBene, the Assistant Secretary for Information and Technology and Chief Information Officer, Department of Veteran Affairs. Francis, a very good evening to you. Many years ago, you and I started with the Veterans Affairs Administration under the Obama administration, and there was trouble. There were replacements, there were promises, there were doubts. And when we spoke of it each week, there'd be facilities that were being constructed with no end in sight. The budgets were busted. And then there were the documents, a nightmare of heaped paper. Now the VA is going through a transformation that makes sense. It's the third decade of the 21st century. They're digitalizing with a commercial product called Cerner. What is Cerner, and what does it mean to digitalize this vast canvas that they possess? Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John, and thanks for having me on, as always. Cerner is the company that the Department of Veterans Affairs is partnering with to deliver an electronic health record system that will serve veterans, not just while they're under the care of VA, but when they start in the military under the military health system that the Pentagon provides and then transition out of the military into VA care for the rest of their lives. VA had a system called Vista for a long time, and it was an electronic health record. It was internal. It was proprietary. A lot of folks have said that it worked really well. A lot of folks have said that it was really clunky and difficult. It was an open source program, and so that you could use it at one location and use it at a different location, it would work differently than it worked at the first location. For many years, VA tried to convince the Defense Department to adopt Vista. They weren't successful. DOD went with the Cerner system. Their version's called MHS Genesis. And so the VA decided a couple of years ago, if that's what DOD is going to use, then we'll convert to that system too. That conversion process has been pretty challenging, quite frankly. And VA, that's one of the topics of conversation with Mr. DelBene, because it's one of the most one of the biggest priorities that he has in his portfolio right now, John, is to make sure that this system works as quickly as possible.
Yes, let's picture the system. A physician and his veteran sitting there. Does this mean they can pop a screen in front of them, the one that I'm looking at right now, and see all of the records of the contact between the patient and the VA over many decades?
Yes, that's the ultimate goal, and not just the VA. The ultimate goal is that the VA system will talk to the DOD system. And so if you enlist as an 18-year-old and you're 50 or 70 or older and you go for care from the VA, they'll be able to see every contact that you've had with the military health care system and the Veterans Health Administration the entire time that you've been under care of either of those organizations. That's been the challenge over time. The challenge right now is this conversion from the Vista system that I told you about to the system that they're trying to launch, this Genesis system. That's been the hard nut for VA to crack. They've done it in two locations in Washington State. They've had a lot of challenges in those transitions. They're about to introduce it in a third location in Ohio. And that one sounds like it's going more smoothly, but we have not seen a lot of reports yet because that's very, very new that they have brought this online in Ohio.
This is a vast challenge, Francis. We know that finding where people have lived, finding the care they've had, either with the VA or without the VA, are they depending on the veterans to help them put information in and correct the information they have?
No, they're pretty confident that the data that they have is accurate. The challenges that they're having are getting the old system to sync up with the new system, basically, and making sure that the new system works technologically correctly. You know, implementing any kind of major technology system in the government or in the private sector is not easy. It doesn't always work right. In fact, it usually doesn't work right on first blush. The challenge is this is a major technology system that, oh, by the way, includes the records of every veteran that's ever served the United States of America that's still alive. It's a pretty important cohort of people for mistakes to happen about. There have been mistakes, and that's the challenge, is that this is not just an inventory system for a small company somewhere and stuff gets stacked on the wrong pallet and put in the wrong warehouse. These are veterans' lives that are at stake as a result of this system when and unfortunately if it doesn't work right. I'm not aware of any situations where because of this system someone has passed, but there are reports of healthcare professionals being told the wrong medicines or showing somebody else's records instead of the veteran that's in front of them. There are all those kinds of challenges. Sadly, none of them are surprising to people who implement big technology systems.
It's a year since President Biden issued an executive order on cybersecurity, and your conversation with Dan Prieto, the head of public sector cybersecurity strategy for Google Cloud, is revelatory to me because I didn't entirely follow what the challenge is. So we're going to start with some fundamentals here, Francis. What is zero trust?
Zero trust is a concept for identifying the user who wants to get onto a network, in this case, the network of a federal government agency, and have access to information to be able to do his or her job. It's especially important now because of the remote work posture that the federal government has taken and expects to continue to take over time. So the concept of zero trust is that I get on the system and I tell the system I'm Francis Rose. And by nature, historically, the way that it's been is I give a password, and if the password is the right password, it lets me access the network. The concept of zero trust is that just because I say I have a password doesn't necessarily mean I'm me, because maybe you got my password and you can access the network and do the things that I would normally do or do things I wouldn't normally do and exfiltrate information. So zero trust at its core is an identity management system that verifies that, yes, this is the person that this person says this person is. And we will then, by verifying this person each time that this person wants to access our network and access our information, we'll verify that that person can access the information that they're asking to see. There are a lot of tactical pieces to it, but that's it. The concept of zero trust is actually a lot more philosophical than I think it is technological, John.
What I learned is that the challenges are they need a full inventory of all the devices they're connecting to, a full inventory mm-hmm. of all the users, and they have to remove something called implicit trust. What is that?
Yeah, that's that concept that I referred to a moment ago, and that's the concept that not just the government but private sector companies operated under for a long time. And that is that if I say I'm me, I must be me. You know, otherwise, how would this person be able to access the network if it wasn't them? And what we've learned over the last 15 years of cyber breaches is that there are people out there who get pretty good at pretending they're somebody they're not in order to be able to breach a system.
So you've got to remove implicit trust. In other words, each time you go on, they have what better way do they have than a password? They want to know, they want to ask you questions. How do they do this?
Well, there are all kinds of things, and they're the same techniques, quite frankly, that we see in the private sector in multi-factor authentication. They might ask you questions. They might text you a code that you have to enter to demonstrate that you're really you, all those kinds of mechanisms.
So the federal government is converting to the same kind of security that I have at my bank. That's what's underway.
Yeah, that's in fact that the financial services industry is a really good example of it. That's one organization, one sector that the government is kind of looking to as the model. And Dan is particularly adept at speaking to this because he served in the Obama administration as a cyber official there. So he understands what he's talking about when it comes to what the government has to do.
Francis Rose is the host of the Daily Scoop podcast at FedScoop, conversation with Kurt Del Bene of the VA and Dan Prieto of Google. This is CBSI on the road. This is CBSI on the world. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBSI on the world with John Batchelor.